on message on First Things First, and following on from last, this is kind of like a two-part series message from last week. So last week, doing First Things First, we looked at how. Let me do the intro first. So, in order to have our lives as successful, God's made it clear. God's actually put some principles in His Word that if we follow, not just read them, but apply them to our lives, we have a greater chance of success and stability than what we do, would do without Him. And we can, you know, even in a situation where we don't have a lot of money or fame or fortune or contacts, networks, if we give ourselves to God and follow His ways, we can still have a very fruitful and productive life. You may not be on television, you may not have your own radio show or podcast or whatever, but in God's kingdom, we can have a very effective and fruitful life when we follow His principles and His words. When we get away from trying to do things our way, what we think is the right way, and apply ourselves to God's principles, God blesses our lives. Now, God is inviting us to put first things first in all that we do, to actually start to look at it and say, God, before I do anything else, before I try and solve this problem or create this opportunity or, you know, promote whatever, what is the, before I do any of that, before I do any activity, what is the first thing you want me to do? And so God wants us to follow this principle. It's not a demand. It's out there. And Jesus actually taught it because He said in Matthew chapter 6, He said, seek first the kingdom of God. So in order to do that, in order to seek first the kingdom of God, it means we have to say to ourselves, every opportunity, every choice, every decision I make, am I looking to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or do I feel I've got a control of this situation? I know what to do. I've got the answers. I've got the solution. And I'm going to do this first. I'm going to try it my way first. But in that passage, Jesus says, all these things will be added to you whenever we seek first the kingdom of God. What are all these things? Security, financial provision, healthy relationships, healthy spiritual life, healthy soul life, mind, will, and emotions. All these things are added to us when we seek first the kingdom of God. It's like this. God gives, calls us to work for His kingdom. And so if we apply ourselves to that, it doesn't mean that we all have a pulpit or whatever, but if we apply the circumstances of our life and shape them for the kingdom of God in whatever way is possible. If we have a seek first the kingdom of God mentality, you could be a teacher in a school, in a public school, in a secular school. If you seek first the kingdom of God, God looks upon you in whatever situational circumstances you're in, other than the mafia situation. That's not a good situation to be in. But if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, God will look upon our life and say, you are my worker, you are doing my will, how can I help you succeed at what you're doing and resource you for whatever you need? And so, teacher, building buildings, whatever it is, all sorts, laborer. God will look upon us and say, if you are seeking first the kingdom of God, I want to resource you in that role because I know I can trust you that you're doing my will, and so I want you to be successful. And that's what Jesus is saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And so when we have a seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness attitude, it affects the way we think. It affects the way we look at life. We look at everything that is before us to say, how can I shape this situation make a decision that is going to benefit the kingdom of God. It changes the way we look at life. It changes our attitude. It changes how we handle things. Because sometimes we can go through difficult circumstances, situations, we don't know what's going on. But if we have a seek first the kingdom of God, it's like, God, this is a difficult time, but I know there's something in it through this. I can go through this difficulty knowing that something good for the kingdom of God is going to come out of it. So it makes us more resilient people, makes us strong people, makes us people of faith. And so Jesus is putting that out there. But we've got to choose that way. It's a call to choose to seek first the kingdom of God. In your relationships, who do you hang around with? Are they people that are going to help you seek first the kingdom of God? Is it someone you're going to marry? Someone who's going to help you seek first the kingdom of God. That God can do anything in those situations to work towards that. But let's take on that attitude and that mindset. And so last week we looked at one of the first things we need to do. This whole series about putting first things first. We looked at how we need to seek first for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power upon our life. We read from Acts chapter 1, and it says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his disciples, hallelujah, we have a Savior who likes to eat around a table. Praise God. He must have been Italian at some point. He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, as all Christians do, we need to know, what's happening in the last days? You're teaching on forgiveness, but tell us what's happening in the last days. Then, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Jesus said, listen, this is a side issue. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord, we just pray today for this message, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here. Already been evident throughout this service that you are here, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. And our desire and commitment is to be a church, a fellowship, a group of people, Lord, that are being continually led and empowered by your presence in our life, Holy Spirit. Because without you, we are powerless. And we are ineffective servants for the kingdom. And so, Holy Spirit, we continually invite you into this congregation, into this church, because of the task that we have been appointed as a fellowship long ago, since when the church first started. Lord, in the even before the church was birthed, you had a plan. And Holy Spirit, you are here to facilitate that plan, to bring it to pass. It's not based on the strength of man, the wisdom of man, but it's dependent upon you working through us. And so we continually invite, as the leadership, as the pastor of this church, I say, Holy Spirit, lead us, fill us, pour out your power upon us to be the church that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this is a second part of this message that we're going to look at as we continue to look at what it means to have the Holy Spirit's power poured out upon us. And one of the things I want to look at is how when we read through Acts, there was actually an event that happened, which was an outpouring of a supernatural prayer language that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit's outpouring. A supernatural prayer language that's been made available for every Christian to utilize and have as part of their life to help equip us to live out God's plan and purposes for our life. And that supernatural prayer language is known as speaking in tongues. And all the people said, shada bundi, hubba bubba, rubba dingy. But speaking in tongues is a supernatural prayer language that comes through the Holy Spirit's outpouring that happened on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit's power. And that supernatural power would be given to them to help them go out and preach the gospel to the whole world. He told them, wait, before you do, I've told you to go, but the first thing I need you to do is wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to fill you with power. And when he does, there'll be evidence with speaking in tongues as that began to happen. Now, speaking in tongues is a gift of Christ for all believers. There are people that will, because of their experiences with praying to receive speaking in tongues, they say, well, I asked to have the gift of speaking in tongues. It didn't happen, therefore it's not for all believers. But that is not the case. In John chapter 20, it says that suddenly Jesus was standing there amongst the disciples. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Go out and preach the gospel. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, receive the Holy Spirit. So at that point, Jesus was telling them, you need to go out and share this message with everybody, the hope of salvation that I came to bring. And so he breathes on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And at that point, I believe the disciples became born again because they received, the Holy Spirit became alive in them. And then in Acts chapter 1, which we read earlier, it says that Jesus told the disciples to wait to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. It says, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he says also, you need to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it's very clear when you read scripture that there are two experiences, encounters we have with the Holy Spirit. The first one is that we receive the Holy Spirit. The second one, we are empowered by the Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, going again, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit was in them, but he's saying to them, you need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Two separate experiences of the Holy Spirit we all need to receive as believers. The first one is for us to be born again. When you surrender your life to Christ, God breathes his Holy Spirit on you. Whew. The person of the Holy Spirit is breathed on us and we become spiritually reborn. The second experience is when we look to have the Holy Spirit's power come upon us to empower us for the work that God has called us to do. And this is seen in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. So we call ourselves Pentecostals because we sort of tie ourselves to this event and say, we believe that that event still happens for everyone today. That's why we call ourselves Pentecostal Christians. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages. So the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Let me tell you, I actually had that physical event happen in my life where tongues of fire landed on my head and singed right down the middle of my... But that's not a true story. It's not a true story. Let me tell you this, all believers were meeting in that one place, right? All believers. Let me tell you who was there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in that room. I don't know if the Catholics know this, but Mary was a Pentecostal. Acts chapter 2, verse 6, it says, when the crowd heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear that their own language being spoken by believers. I shared about this last week. I'm just going over some old ground. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee and yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. we all hear these people speaking in our own language and the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. So what do we mean when we talk about speaking in tongues? Now, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Spirit who imparts a spiritual language to the believer personally that is unknown to the individual. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2, there were two supernatural things happening at that time. The first thing was the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in power and they began to speak in an unknown language. They began to speak in tongues. The second thing that happened at this time with the people who were there, who saw and heard what was happening, there was a supernatural hearing that took place upon their life. The Holy Spirit was moving upon the disciples to speak the language, but then the Holy Spirit was moving upon the people to hear the language. Oftentimes people will read this passage and say, speaking in tongues is evidence when we speak in a known language. That is not the case. We misread this scripture to understand that the Holy Spirit, when he moves upon people, they can have the ability to hear and interpret what is being said. But it doesn't mean that that person is speaking in a foreign language. It's a supernatural act. And so we need to be careful where people are pushing this idea that speaking in tongues is evidenced by speaking in a foreign language. That is never the case. Sometimes you'll have situations where people are speaking in tongues and I'll have a person behind them and said, I didn't know that you spoke Swahili because you're just speaking that language to me. But it's a supernatural event that's occurring, the person to hear what's going on and the person to speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues was not a one-off event for the 150 disciples plus Mary in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul actually taught believers, Paul believed in the speaking of tongues. He actually teaches about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And so in this passage, Paul's actually addressing an issue that was happening in the Corinthian church, a very strong Pentecostal church at that time. And so what was happening was, as we had this morning, we had people speaking out, declaring the prophesying and encouraging people with words of encouragement. And so this would happen in the Corinthian church on a very regular basis. But what was happening there during the service, one person would start speaking and another person would just start speaking, try and talk over them. And so everyone was trying to compete for airspace. And so it was just a rabble. Everyone just going hell for leather. Is that a right word to say? Going hard at it. And so it's just a shambles. People couldn't understand what was going on. It's just all this noise and no one was being encouraged. Everyone was trying to express their gift, get their moment on the stage. And Paul says, listen, man, if the Holy Spirit is moving, and I don't have mercy and grace, show mercy and grace to my fellow Christians where I'm just over talking over them. Who hates to be talked over even in a normal setting? Yeah. We don't even like it when we're talking normally. And Paul says, listen, if you're just trying to impose yourself upon the meeting and you're not showing love and patience and grace, it says it's just a waste of the gift. And so this is what he was addressing in the situation here. See, that any supernatural gift we receive from God, whether it is the gift of speaking in tongues or prophecy or the gift of worship or preaching or serving or whatever gift we have been given, friends, it can never be an excuse for bad behavior. And that's what Paul was saying essentially. No matter what our responsibilities are in church or in life or whatever, in every situation, let's show grace, let's show patience, let's respect one another. And so these guys needed to be addressed. So Paul says in this passage, he points out that there's actually two types of prayer languages. Because he says it there. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbals. Two types of prayer languages, styles that we can use. The tongues of men, which is our earthly tongue, our natural prayer language we use when we pray, or the tongues of angels, our angelic tongue, our gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Why does he describe the two things in that passage? Because, friends, we can speak in English or we can speak in tongues. He's actually pointed that out. Another way of saying our angelic tongue is to speak Italian, is to say speaking in tongues. Come on. It is, isn't it? No. A supernatural language to help us pray to God on a deeper level than if we were just using our own language and understanding to pray. Friends, I tell you, if I pray with the tongues of men all the time, I don't have the right words to say in situations. Sometimes I'm so overwhelmed with emotion and all this sort of concerns and anxiety and fear or whatever, and it's like, God, I don't even know what to, where do I start? Where do I start to pray for this thing? And so sometimes the tongues of men just doesn't cut it. Help. And so I turn to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I start speaking in tongues. Shabba baba, rubba dingy, hubba baba, kawabunga, whatever it is. I can speak in tongues. I'm just trying to work the room. And so I start speaking in tongues. I'm just praying in tongues. Lord, just knowing, just my heart is this. God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I'm praying in tongues. So when I'm ever driving the bus in the mornings without any students on board, because be freaky if I was driving the bus and speaking in tongues. But as I'm going out to my first pickup for the morning, I start to speak in tongues. Sometimes I've gone off the road and crashed because I was speaking in tongues, but no. But just sometimes, friends, English just doesn't do it. Italian, as powerful as that language is, and how romantic and glorious that language is, just doesn't cut it. You just need to speak in tongues. God, I don't know. My heart's desire is for help, and I just pray in tongues and try and get that connection with God. Speaking in tongues is a prayer language that helps to restore our spiritual order. See, ever since the Garden of Eden, since the fall of man, we actually gave, Adam and Eve and all of us have given authority back to the enemy, where God gave us the right to rule as his people over his creation. And when we gave back that authority to the enemy who took it from us, our spiritual man died. We became spiritually dead. And this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to help restore our spiritual order. So before we were born again, before we surrender our life to Christ, we're spiritually dead people. But the thing is, everyone has a soul. Everyone of us has a body. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, and emotions, and also our flesh, our body. And because we are spiritually dead, when we're meant to be spiritual beings created in the image of God, because our spiritual man was dead, guess what? Our soul and our body took over and took control. Now, let me tell you this. The soul and the body, all given by God, but they are horrible masters. Our mind is a horrible master. Our will is a horrible master. Our emotions are a horrible master, and our flesh is a horrible master. And so without Christ, we are living soulish lives, being ruled by our mind, our will, and our emotions. And they're not healthy. They lead us down some dark places, and our flesh rules. And so Jesus came back to save us, friends, but he also came back to make our spiritual man come alive again. And this is why he says to the disciples, firstly receive the Holy Spirit, but he says, man, you've got a work to do. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, because these guys will not let go. They are right, they are given by God, but without a spiritual man ruling, our spiritual person ruling over us, bringing those things under control, we're just all over the place. And so they won't let go. There's a battle going on within us to try and restore that order. And our spiritual man is working and growing and becoming strong. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the prayer language of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues to say, bring these things back into submission. When they're under submission, they are good and healthy. But when they're not, they rule with an iron fist and cause us a lot of damage. They bring depression. They bring anxiety. They bring fear in our life. They make us tired. All these things, just ruling by the soul and the flesh, just stops us from being effective and fruitful people. And so we need to be born again. We need the Holy Spirit to be breathed on us. And then we need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to fight this battle within ourselves. Am I making sense? So speaking in tongues is the gift we have been given that is for every believer that comes from the Holy Spirit to help us speak in a supernatural language that enables us to build up our spiritual man. So our spiritual man needs to grow. He needs to grow and become strong, and we need to feed it. We need to feed him, and that's when we pray in tongues, read our Bibles, pray, worship God, fellowship, counsel and encourage one another, but also praying in tongues. Praying in tongues builds up our spiritual man. So, speaking in tongues is a gift available to everyone. I know I'm repeating myself, but Luke chapter 11, Jesus says this, when he was British, he said, so I say to you, it always sounds like a British saying, oh, so I say to you, chaps, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened to you. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? He says this, and what is it in reference to? He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Friends, when we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. But then he says, ask and keep on asking in order to be given the Holy Spirit, because he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's no point saying, oh, Holy Spirit, I need you, when he's already inside of us. I'm already here. What are you asking for? I believe it's to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the prayer language that he has for us. Now, is speaking in tongues essential for a person's salvation? Speaking in tongues does not make a person born again. It doesn't. If we can recall what happened in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, they received the Holy Spirit and were born again. They didn't speak in tongues at that point. But Jesus told them that they needed supernatural power to help them fulfill the call of God, and told them to wait to receive that power. We become born again when we confess our sins and ask Jesus to come into our life and become the Lord of our life. At that point, Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit in us and our spiritual man comes alive. We are born again. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is not an uncontrollable experience. At all times, we are always in control of our tongue and our mouth, even in speaking in tongues. It's not a situation where you're going through drive-through at McDonald's and you get to that speaker and you're about to put in an order, she said, you know, can I help you please? And then you start saying, shut up, bunny, hubba bubba, rubber dinghy. Do you want fries with that? At all times, friends, we are in control. See, the concern some people have with speaking in tongues is that they feel they might lose control and have an out-of-body experience and appear drunk like they did in Acts chapter 2. But there is no indication in the New Testament that people who spoke in tongues after that event lost control of themselves or become unaware of their surroundings. I think even in that situation, they were still in control. So when you start speaking in tongues, you can stop and start at any time. And so Paul's letter to the Corinthians about these people speaking over one another and, you know, trying to get the platform, trying to get their moment, Paul actually comes in and addresses it and said, listen, pull yourselves together, pull your head in, be respectful, utilize your gifts. Yeah, we're not saying don't speak, don't use your gift, but be respectful of what's going on. Be respectful of the people around you and take control of your situation. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it shall be by two or at the most three, and each in turn. That's control. That's the ability to control what's going on. And one must interpret, but if there is no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church. So saying you're in control with the gift of speaking in tongues. Now we had one guy, he came out of a religious cult kind of situation, and this he literally took this passage seriously, where he said, if there was a fourth person, he said, it should be done by two or three at the most, and each in turn. If there was a fourth person who spoke in tongues, he said, no, you're out of order. I think that's just a guideline. Friends, if the Holy Spirit's flowing and you get five or six tongues or prophecies or whatever, I think if the Holy Spirit's moving, let's go with it. It's just a guideline. It's not legislation. Amen. In verse 32, he says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. In other words, whatever gift God gives us, we are in control and we need to bring some discipline in our gifting. It says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly fashion. Now, again, just to clarify this situation, in the Corinthian church, they were speaking publicly in tongues. We all receive a private prayer language, but there's also the gift of public tongues. But these guys were using the public gift of tongues and just going like crazy. And he says, I need to bring some order. And people have used it to say, oh, not everyone can speak in tongues, only some people. No, this is to do with a public use of that tongue. Just bring it under control. Okay? But we've all been given a prayer language, the opportunity to have a prayer language. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We can even choose to sing in tongues, which is known as singing in the Spirit. If I pray, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with my mind also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with my mind also. Praying with the Spirit and praying with the mind are two different things. So to me, it's obvious that Paul believes that there are two ways we connect with God. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues compared to praying with our own understanding, or singing in the Spirit, or singing in our own language. We can even sing in tongues. That's when you're really speaking Italian. Speaking in tongues is part of our spiritual armory. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says it. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be able to be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith and stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And everyone stops there. But then Paul says, as part of your armor, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Pray in tongues. That's part of our spirit. Everyone stops at verse 17. But praying in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, friends, is the praying in tongues as part of our spiritual armor. Friends, we're in a spiritual battle with a spiritual enemy called the devil. And therefore, God has given us a spiritual weapon, praying in the Spirit, to help us combat the schemes and strategies of the enemy. Praying in tongues builds us up. When we speak in tongues, we are helping to build up our spiritual man, and as a result, our faith is strengthened. Jude chapter, verse 20 says this, but you, beloved, building up yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And as I said before, friends, we need help. We're in a battle. We're in a battle with the enemy. We're in a battle with our society, as I shared last week. And we're in a battle with ourselves. And it's hard to walk our Christian faith and live out our Christian faith when all these things are going on and we're fighting ourselves, we're fighting the enemy, we're fighting society. And so God has helped, given us a supernatural gift imparted to us through the Holy Spirit to help make us strong people of faith to stand in these tough times and see the victory. Friends, when the disciples were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they were speaking out and crying out and all those people came running, they said, the crowd said, we hear them in our own language, in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And this is what the outcome was. They were speaking the mighty deeds of God. Let me ask you this. How can speaking the mighty deeds of God at any time, whenever we pray in tongues, not be a good thing to do at any time? If this is part of that language, if this is what we're communicating, prophesying and speaking out the good things of God, why is it such a bad thing to do at any time? Friends, it's like this. You've entered a car race called Christianity with a four-cylinder motor, and someone is offering to upgrade your car to a V8, but you're happy to go with the four cylinders. You can choose to say no. You are free to do so. But why would you put that type of restriction on yourself? And maybe you're afraid that you won't be able to handle the extra power. Maybe you don't trust the person who's offering you this power. Maybe this is the first time you actually heard that of a V8 engine, of that there's extra power that's available. Maybe you're afraid that you'll be made to look like a fool. That people say, oh, look at them. They look like they're drunk. They're just being silly. But the reality is this. The power that's being offered to everyone who wants to upgrade their Christian walk in a new and powerful dimension is made available because God wants to help us in our walk with Him. So, let me tell you this. You will be able to handle that extra power. And just because it's the first time you actually heard of a powerful thing like a V8 engine or speaking in tongues doesn't negate your ability to receive that power straight away. You don't need to be afraid. We won't try and make you look like a fool. But the power is there. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be opened. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So the Holy Spirit's here. There was evidence of his gift being, his giftings being operated in the church this morning. And those gifts were operational because God wants to bring encouragement. He wants to inspire us. He wants us to build up our confidence as people of faith, as people walking this Christian walk. At every point, God is wanting to help us walk in victory, walk in power, and walk in fruitfulness, the things that he's called us to do, to be successful, to be people who can change our world, change our families, change our community, to change us, to make us become the people that God knows that we can become, the man that we know God wants us to be, the woman that God wants us to be, the child that God wants us to be. And so to do that, the Holy Spirit was given to us, firstly to be received when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, but also to have his power come upon us to equip us for the work and the challenges that are ahead. We don't need to fight the fight on our own. We don't need to fight this fight internally, because sometimes the fight that we go through is a fight that no one else can understand. But let me tell you this, we have someone inside of us who is a part of us who knows exactly how we feel, exactly what we're thinking, who's gone through every situation and circumstances with us, the person of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, he knows how much power you need, how much help you need. And he's ready, willing, and available to give you that help, to give you that power. But we need to ask. We need to come before him. We need to receive his power. And so, Lord, this morning, for each and every person here today, I want to talk to some of the experienced Christians. Sometimes we can just take him for granted. We need to keep reminding ourselves the Holy Spirit is not to be disregarded, is not to be forgotten. We need to keep building this relationship with him, keep developing our walk with him, keep praying in the Spirit, keep developing our spiritual man. If you've let that go, friends, today is the day to have that relationship restored. Today is the day to renew that language in your life and build up your spiritual man. So whether it's the first time or whether you've been walking a long time, we all need that impartation of the Holy Spirit's power upon our life. And so we're going to close this meeting this morning. If you want prayer for any reason, not just to receive the Holy Spirit, but if you want any prayer for any reason, now is the time. Come forward. Love to pray with you. Like I said, this is a safe place. We're not going to make a fool of you. We're going to stand with you and believe God, knowing that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon you with power. With power to strengthen you like it's never happened before. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would draw every person that needs that, respond to that prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let it be a sweet, sweet. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh Lord. We exalt thee. All over this room. Sing, we exalt thee, Jesus. We exalt thee, yeah. Oh Lord, we exalt thee. With all of my heart, I exalt you. We exalt.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my.
Love that's never failing, but let mercy fall on me. Where everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, where heroes and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Wow, how awesome is our God? Hey, let's give him one loud applause. We're going to close the service. We're not going to keep you here until 3 o'clock. Oh, no, we are, sorry. We're going to do the benediction. Have some fellowship after. He's going to find it. Sorry, we are keeping you until 3, maybe 4. Yeah, it's on the screen here. So go other way. That's it. Okay, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Woo!